Hey, Tara Mahadevan.
What's good, Kevin?
Tara, I feel like it's been a long time since we've been here.
Gee, it's been like a month.
I know, but you wouldn't know because we continue to put these episodes into the world.
See, yeah, consistency is key.
You have to be consistent. Yes. You have to be consistent. And also, it's like
I know our corner store connoisseurs are thirsty for this content.
Whoa, wow, that's a lot of bars. yo, are you good?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We're about to make some travels, which I'm excited about.
We are.
You know, so that's gonna be good. Hopefully, maybe something will come of it. Some things will come of it.
Many things.
But I'm so excited. We have, speaking of travel, we have an international traveler in the building tonight. Someone who has built a incredible community, a literal studio, and an actual community of some of the most progressive sound coming out of the city. I would say an organizer, a producer,
a motivational speaker. A life coach, if you will.
A manager.
Yes.
Someone who has helped shape many careers out of the Chicago music
scene.
And in
a quick timeline.
Succession,
on a quick time.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. The classic of classic studios, y'all, Mr. Chris Classic in the building.
Yes. What up?
Innumerable. Chris Classic, innumerable.
What's going on? Hey, I have one thing to say.
Yes.
I was just reading this. Oh. Did you know that Jameson, the family motto, means without fear? I really, really, really fuck with that.
I can cuss too.
Yeah, you can cuss all you would like. And also, you can out us. Jameson, if you do want to sponsor the podcast, we're taking liquor sponsors.
Wait, what is it?
It means without fear.
Listen, that's the motto of this podcast.
Hey, without fear, y'all.
Yeah,
live your life without fear. corner store.
You walk into the corner store without fear because you might get robbed. Chris Classic.
What up?
Yo, man. Hey, before we begin, we do have some other delights for you. We just want to start
that
with
bag. Wrestle that bag in the mic.
What is
that?
Yeah.
Want to start with some snacks out the bag. So just to begin with, man, welcome back to the city with some sizzling hot crunchy curls. You already know what it is.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, and this is dope.
Okay, that's a
back in my high school years.
Yeah.
But I'm allergic to milk.
Oh yeah! Shit,
it's all good.
Okay,
it's all
right. Look, you can pass them around.
Look at it.
All right, right. They do. I don't think that these have dairy in them. I'll tell you what. The nice women at the corner store put me onto these. I was familiar with their what was in the family, but these are Twin Snake gummy candies, both sweet and sour.
Oh,
yeah. So a little bit of something for everybody.
I actually mess with the sweet and sour.
And then I don't know, man. There was something about you where I was like, yo, Chris Classic will appreciate an Arnold Palmer. So this is a half tea, half lemonade. I don't know if those are facts.
I'm actually going to put this in the JMO.
Oh, see?
Hey.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Hey, thank you.
Yo, thank you, man. Thank you for being here. And then, I do want to welcome you with
rap horn.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you. It's a little late, actually. Rap horn. Made a late appearance in your presentation in your announcement today.
After we introduced them,
true. That's fair.
It's a nice.
I'll get it together one day.
Right.
I'll get it together
someday.
One day. But yo, man, welcome back to the United States of America.
Yeah, shit. You've been gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to go all the way back, but let's start with just where you were just,
Okay. We just finished up this tour. With Smino and Monty, you guys familiar with them?
Yeah, I think the corner store connoisseurs will also be. Yeah, right. You guys were on. Where were you guys?
We started off in Japan. Oh no, started off in South Korea. Then went to Japan. Then went to New Zealand, where we started off in Wellington. Then we went to Auckland, but they say Oakland over there, so it's kind of weird.
Really?
Yeah, they say Oakland.
Town business.
We kind of I almost missed our flight because they were like, and our next flight to Oakland. I'm like, Oakland? Like, why are we going? There's a flight to Oakland from here?
Yeah.
Like, that's our flight. We gotta go.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then we went to Australia. The first one was Melbourne, and then we went to Sydney, and then we went to Brisbane, and then we went to Perth. And then we came home.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a big trip.
Yeah. And damn near sold out everywhere, all sold out?
We sold out half of the shows, yes.
That's sick. And I saw a lot of videos and people in Korea knew the words.
What's crazy
is
if you've seen all those clips, I actually recorded a lot of those on my iPhone.
I feel like because I saw it on yours and I see it on Sino.
Should have added videographer to the introduction. Yeah, my bad.
We had to make it work.
So let's talk about, so first of all, what was this tour? If you can kind of break it down for folks who might not be in the know.
Oh, what was the tour?
Yeah.
I guess it's their first time going all the way on the other side of the world. And, we've always known that we had a market out in Australia. Australia really, messed with Smino and Monty very early on in terms of, I remember when we used to see their SoundCloud plays. I was like, oh, Australia.
But why do you think that is? Is it because of selection or...?
I don't want to necessarily say it's always about something, but I always feel like it's... I just feel like the music resonated out there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we were talking to somebody from one of the hotels in Melbourne. There was this fan who stayed in the front and talked to me and Elton, and they were like, yo, we're big fans. I'm a big fan of Smino, and the streets, that's what he said, the streets really mess with Smelling Like a Re-Up. And I'm like, damn, that's
old
as
fuck.
Old.
Yeah. That's my favorite song.
Yeah. And to hear that, I was like, yo, that's tight. And for them to think that Anita is like their pop record out there.
Wow.
That is crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy to think. And honestly, I feel like out there, their presence is so much bigger than I thought and what I expected when we went out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But overall, it was just for us to test our market and just to see how it is out there, and it exceeded our expectations.
And so, what was that like, the experience of being in a place that is not places you've been, mm-hmm. not places that
they don't
the
speak
guys
English?
Have been? Right. And folks are, one, coming to the venue, and two, as Tara was saying, reciting the words.
But that's not
which
their native
for Smino,
tongue.
Also for Smino, which is difficult language to really get your mind around.
Yeah.
A twang.
And a very quick pattern, very musical. And
yeah, and this is what I love about music, and this is why I do it. And it's because music is so universal, and it's so anyone can connect to anything. It doesn't matter what kind of language what you speak. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It means nothing. As long as you hear the music and it hits you, nothing else matters. You know what I mean? So for us to be in South Korea where we're talking to, I'm listening to the fans while we're because every time I'm at a show, I always walk in the crowd just to feel the vibe. You know what I mean? Just to see how they are, see if they're talking about me or see if they're talking about Monty. And I can't understand anything they're saying. All of them are talking in they're talking in Korean. Once Smee got on the stage and he performed the first song.
Which was?
It was Black Jupiter.
Okay.
Right? It might be wrong. No, it was Black Jupiter. He performed Black Jupiter and literally the whole crowd knew all the words and they were just screaming after every 8 bars. Just imagine. To me, it felt like the crowd was on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa! Whoa! I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Bro, I'm telling you, this man, Smee, was rapping this way. Saw the crowd and seeing the reaction, turned back at me and went like, yo, what the hell's going on, bro? His reaction was priceless because he looked back at me. He looked back at me. He looked back at Nose, DJ, the homie, and Elton. And it was just the best reaction I've seen, to see this group of people just know every word to Smino's songs. You know, it's amazing.
So Smino and Monty are there because they're playing music.
Mm-hmm.
What, for those who don't know, what is your role in this equation? How did you get brought halfway around the world?
Oh man. Honestly, I never thought about being a manager at all. My main concern, when I first started my studio, it was always about, I wanted to help out the hip hop Chicago community because, not to knock other studios. I just felt like we weren't the group of people that we were around just didn't get accepted or was allowed in certain, they're like, oh, I don't want to work with hip hop artists. I'm like, I will. Those are my homies. You know what I mean? So, but Smino, I call him Smee. I always feel weird when I say Smino because I always feel like I'm not his friend. he actually, I think it was 4 years ago.
I feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're gonna. Okay. Should we finish that? So we're gonna go all the way back.
Okay. Well, yeah. I want to know. Yeah, I don't want to interrupt you, but I also want to know which was your favorite? Was it Korea?
My favorite. And you got to talk about like what?
What favorite show?
Favorite show?
Yeah, yeah. Like the energy, like the. I mean, you were in Seoul, I assume.
We were in Seoul. My favorite was. Man, that's hard. Because everybody had like a different type of energy.
Yeah.
But I think the most lit crowd was between Melbourne and Sydney. But I want to say Sydney. Sydney was crazy. And we had like about 750 people there.
Damn. Wow. And that was that a sold out one?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. That's so dope.
And I heard that, I mean, I know that they in their hip hop scene is also popping. So in some ways, like that makes a lot of sense too.
I wish I knew more.
Well, you know, maybe one day the corner store will
journey,
you know, land
right
in Sydney and Oakland.
Hey, this Honest T and J-Mo is
a good
fire.
Combo.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just letting you know right now.
All right. So let's go back, you know, if that's cool. I mean, tell us about, you know, I mean, you're from here.
Yes. I'm from Chicago, northwest side of Chicago.
Yeah.
What neighborhood?
It's like Belmont Cragen. It's such a weird area. It's such a gray area.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a gray area. I feel like my area was like the line where if you went north, everything was good. Like that's where you start seeing Starbucks and, you know, things just started getting better. And then if you just went like a couple blocks down south, things were just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was in the middle of it.
Right. And who did you come up with in the crib? Like who, what folks?
My mom and dad.
And what did they do?
My mom and dad are like immigrants. They came here from the Philippines at like 20, met each other and made me.
They met here in
the
States.
Yeah, they met here in the States. Yeah.
Do you know how they met?
I think my dad met my mom through one of my dad's sister's friends, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, if you could follow that. Yeah.
Yeah. No siblings?
My dad?
No, you.
Oh, me? I'm an only child.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Only child,
okay.
Yeah. And so, actually, I was supposed to have, I don't know if I'm trying to get all, you know, but.
No, do your thing, man.
No, I was supposed to have an older sister, and I think I was supposed to have a younger brother, but I was the only child that actually, like, made it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so your folks, what did they do when you were a kid, like, what for work and stuff like that?
My mom's a nurse, and my dad was working at the post office, and he was the floor manager, and I think he's still doing that right now.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a hardworking dude.
Yeah, it sounds like they both are. I mean, because nursing and postal work is for real work.
Honestly, I got a lot of my work ethic from my parents, and
it's like the immigrant mentality.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is the immigrant mentality. But overall, it was when I grew up. I was always around like either my cousin's house or I was at my friend's house or I was barely home, to be honest with you, just because my parents were working literally from like 8 a.m. to like sometimes 6 in the afternoon or 7. And then I get picked up at my cousin's house and then I go home and I'm like there just asleep. You know what I mean?
Right.
For the most part, I'm always somewhere else.
Yeah.
But
that's that latchkey kid life, really.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But you came up with family in the area.
Yeah, yeah. My dad has like 14 brothers and sisters, and they all came here from the Philippines.
Wow.
Yeah, and they all lived in this one house on Western, and that was the place where I actually like grew up for real.
They
like
all lived there.
A majority of my family members lived in that one house.
Squad.
And, yeah, I mean. Right. You gotta make it work.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is the real story of the country, right?
Yeah, is
like,
basically.
Yeah, family coming together to occupy a small space in order to expand. You know?
Man, that's true.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's, wow, so that's pretty wild. So you came up in that environment then around a ton of cousins, uncles, aunties.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you always had family around as a kid.
Yeah. basically.
So what about the cultural life of that space? Like, what was the music like, for instance? Like, what were y'all listening to at the crib? Or was there music? Or
no, there was music. We were listening to a lot of R&B.
Yeah?
A lot of... yeah, a lot of pop music, too. But for the most part, one of my uncles actually had, like, a recording studio in his basement. And that's how, like, I really got really intrigued by it, because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is actually tight. Like, when me and my cousins, like, we started, like, R&B groups, like, I was singing.
Oh, what?
Can we get those?
Yeah, what about?
Hell no.
Oh, wait, okay, so we got a little bit.
First of all, what was the name of the R&B
right,
group?
Exactly.
Man, I don't know.
You sure?
I don't know.
Okay.
He might be lying.
But I know, maybe. And this is your uncle who was recording.
Yeah.
Was he he's an engineer?
No.
Producer?
He just had it. Like, my uncle was actually one of those guys who just had just had stuff just to have it.
That's cool.
I was like, all right. Like, he was one of my uncles who had, like a Benz for it. I'm like, why you have a Benz?
He never drove it? Or
no, he drove it, but I'm okay. Just like, all right, how? Cool, bet. Right. You have a Benz.
Right.
Right.
How did you acquire that Benz,
yeah, exactly.
Sir?
Yeah, look, some questions are better left unasked.
Yeah, actually.
And unanswered.
my uncle actually taught me how to be a businessman a little bit, in a way. Like, when I was young, he used to, like, sell phone cards. Like, back in the day, like, a lot of Filipinos would have to sell phone
cards.
Call
home.
Yeah, to call home. Mm-hmm. And I would literally sell phone cards for him.
Mm. Let's go.
Yeah, but, yeah, I was very money hungry when I was little.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was.
What were you trying to get? Were you trying to buy something?
Yeah, I was always the kid that didn't have, like, I didn't have a PlayStation. I didn't have, like, an N64. I had to earn my shit, like, for real. Like, my dad would always tell me, like, yo, if you want that, you have to get good grades, or you have to work for it. And I'm like, all right, cool, I'll do it.
Word.
Yeah, that was.
Was that your first gig, selling cards for your uncle? Phone cards for your uncle?
Phone cards for my uncle, yeah. That was, like, basically, like, the first time where I was like, oh, I'm getting $5 per card. You know, $5 is a lot when you're a kid.
No shit. How old were you?
Man, I don't know. 10? Like, I want to say 10.
Uh-huh.
What was the
10 or 11?
The most you made?
Moving these phone cards?
Yeah. I don't even remember. I wasn't making a lot, because who wants phone cards?
Oh, you weren't making a lot.
I wasn't making a lot, but I was making, like, a few.
Enough.
Yeah, making enough.
I feel like my family used those, too. So, like,
yeah. I wasn't making a lot, but I just knew. At least I learned failure through that, because I'm like, yo, people don't want this. Let me sell some stuff that people like.
Want.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have another hustle after that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely did. I had a lot of hustles.
Yeah?
Growing up, Definitely did. I used to be the kid who used to sell candy. And, you know, when people ask you, like, yo, what are you selling the candy for? Because usually it's for, like,
Basketball uniforms.
Yeah. I'm like, no, it's for me.
You would say that?
Yeah.
And they'd still
give
buy
me the
it?
Buck.
Yo, give me the Twix, bro.
Chris Classic, the most honest man
right?
in Chicago.
I'm going to tell you.
It's part of his motivational speaking tour. It's just a warm-up.
No, and then after that, I started selling CDs to people. You know, when torrents were big.
Uh-huh.
I started selling,
you started,
like,
bootleg. Okay.
Yeah, was like, but I told everyone, if you wanted any kind of CD, like, I charge
you.
Yeah, $5 for any CD you wanted.
Yo, so what were you downloading on, allegedly?
In terms of what
service or software?
I forgot what it was. Yeah.
LimeWire?
Yeah.
Probably Napster. LimeWire or Napster, in the day. Yeah.
Okay.
But Napster wasn't really torrents, was it?
No. Not Napster wasn't torrents.
Yeah,
but
LimeWire was. Napster was just like...
What were the big albums you were pushing in this era?
The one that I was making the most bread
Let's
off
talk
of
about it.
Was
yeah.
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Allegedly, okay. allegedly. We don't want 50 coming
then,
for...
Yeah.
I don't want to hear from any of his people. I don't want to hear from Eminem.
Statute of Limitations.
I don't want to hear from Dr. Dre.
Right.
Yeah.
And then...
If they were listening, though, I wouldn't...
Oh, yeah.
Like, look.
I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to take what? Well,
allegedly,
$200 is going to make 5% off my money. Like,
listen, right.
Well,
look.
Give them,
Dr. Dre wants
how much,
that bread.
Bro, you tell me.
Yo, he don't get a billion. Eddie, the resident business manager, is in the building.
like everyone's business manager
yeah,
in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally.
I don't know.
Wow. Okay. So that's a solid hustle. So I guess so you already were listening to hip hop at that time. When did hip hop for you come into the mix? Like, when were you first? Knew that you were ahead, essentially. What were some of the records or artists or songs that hooked you?
I always learned, I always heard I heard a lot of Tribe Called Quest back in the day through my friends' older siblings. Like, I learned from a lot of everybody else. You know what I mean? Since, you know, like, I'm an only child, like, I didn't have an older brother to be like, yo, you need to listen to this. I'm like, all right, well, I have to be on my own and try to figure it out.
Right, damn.
And I think the first one was Tribe Called Quest. And then I think what really got me into, like, I started rapping at one point. And it was because of Kanye.
You're trying to, okay. Trying to drop a verse.
You hell no. Spit a 16
kick
real quick.
Yeah,
just you know, for the people.
I got no 16.
Okay,
I got a zero.
Got a zero.
I got a zero bars.
Zero bars.
I got a negative.
I'm on the
16.
Other side.
Right.
You know
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
On the other side.
Okay. All right. Well, so and then where'd you go to high school?
I went to Lane.
Mm-hmm. And so Lane is an interesting place in Chicago. It's a real, you know, robust mix of Chicago young people. What type of kid were you at Lane, and what was some of the stuff that you would get into in school?
My fault. This is real.
Real sour, yeah, real sweet. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Damn, you look like you're about to choke.
Yo, these ladies were really pushing that product on me. I bent.
They're making a percentage off that one.
Not so good.
No.
You know?
Probably not selling.
No.
Yeah, like, they're probably like, probably
nobody's old. Buying these.
Real,
here, buy
old.
Them.
Oh, damn. They, you know what? They were 2 for $3 for a reason. $2. Like, and I didn't take the second one because I'm like, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of gummy product.
Lane. I played basketball. I was hooping a lot.
Are you nice?
Yeah. Is he nice?
I was pretty nice.
Oh, yeah?
I was decent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You play on the team?
Decent's good, though.
Decent's good. You play on the team?
Yes, I did.
Oh, damn. Okay. Yeah, and Lane has some good teams.
Yes.
I mean, we wipe y'all, but, you know, you guys have some.
Who's
you got
we?
Some good.
Who's
my
we?
Squad, my high school team stayed
wait.
Wiping Lane
wait,
every tournament.
What high school do you go to?
Lumber North. Third in the state, Illinois,
oh, yeah.
1993.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
I didn't even know what high school you went
okay,
to.
All right,
I'm just
all
right, really
all
right. Offended right now for no reason. Duh.
Oh,
like, why
real.
Don't you know high school stats from like 30 years ago, Tara? Like, Jesus.
Yo, my game in the Yorktown Jack Tosh Holiday Classic was crazy.
All
Tara,
I know
you already know
is
I had 18
you went
rebounds.
To Wales. That's all
okay,
I need to all right. know.
Anyway,
anyways,
that's not the point. So you were nice?
Yeah. No, I was a starter. I was a point guard.
Okay.
For Lane, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, some of your homies have been on the show before talking about their nice game. I don't know if you could co-sign for Felix.
Felix is, yeah, he's good.
He's good, okay.
Yeah,
he's
oh,
good.
Okay.
He's okay. Good. All right, we'll see.
Elton's good, too.
Elton's good, okay.
We're
going to get him.
Really,
we're
going
to get him.
Low key, we got to, I'm gonna try to set this up. But I actually, I started basketball tournaments back in the day. It was called Balling Against Cancer, if I could plug that in.
Yeah, please
yeah,
do.
It's for,
of course.
Yeah, when my mom passed away from cancer. I mean, it's going to be part of the story. But,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But after that, I started the tournament and literally just, you know, tried to raise enough money to donate to the Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Yeah, of course.
And
wow.
Yeah.
So you were a hooper and we'll get there.
Yeah.
You were a hooper in high school.
Yes.
And your crew was other basketball players?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how did you start to get inside of the culture in Chicago? I know we've talked about that a little bit, but like what was your end to a local music scene?
Man, I feel like when you're at Lane, you already by default know about 40% or nah, like 50% of Chicago's culture. Honestly, because remember, I graduated with like 1,400 people,
mm-hmm.
and like
that's how big it is.
Yeah, I have 1,400 wow. people who graduated with me, and like yeah, Joe Freshgood once.
That means the school's like four times as big as that, though, right? It's like 5,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and probably more
that's
coming
crazy.
in the freshman class because there's attrition and
yeah,
mm-hmm.
true. But yeah, in terms of the, I feel like I really got into the music. Cult? What is it? The music culture? Is that what you're calling it?
Yeah.
The music culture. When I started the studio, when I really started the studio.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
In your dad's house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
What year is this?
Okay. Let me think about that.
Okay.
I always forget what year because so much has happened in my life where I'm like I can never. Everything's always going to be like an estimate.
Sure. That's fine.
What
if it was in during high school, right?
High school, I was actually producing. I was actually producing music, but I wasn't really like I was more into basketball more so than music.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think what year.
How did you start to produce music? I mean, that...
One of my homies actually gave me Fruit Loops.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really intrigued by it because I was always the kid who worked with music program, like just programs overall. I was just a big audio geek. I was always like, oh, you could do that all the time with like, oh, you could slow a section down. You could chop the song up this many times. You could put an edit here. You could put a drop here. You could make a song that's 4 minutes into 2 minutes. Like, how do you do that? Like, and I think it started in grade school. Wow. I know I'm jumping around. Not with my uncle, okay. Actually. My parents actually, I just saw this thing called DJ EJ, right? And it was a program that allowed you to do that. Like, you could, like, program and put music and, like, create beats with samples that they had. And I was like, oh, that's tight. That's dope. So I put that, I got intrigued by it and actually mastered that. And then I got to a point where I knew a lot of dancers back in the day. And I started creating, like performance tracks for people. So
this
that,
is
you
high
know,
school.
Like, yeah, this is high school. And I was creating, like... All right, here's this section of the dance, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then, oh, let's put a drop here, let's do this. And I was just going crazy, you know what I mean?
Like, what kind of dancers?
Hip-hop dancers, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I just knew a lot of hip-hop dancers. My wife's actually a hip-hop dancer, yeah.
Shout out Jet.
Yes, yeah, shout out.
And then it got to a point where, you know, I was like, all right, what's the next level of this? And that's when my homie, his name's Flip Beats, back in the day, he gave me a program called Fruity Loops, and he gave me the demo version. And that was when I was like, all right, this is actually kind of tight. Mm. And that's, you know, like, and I was just playing around with it and actually got nice with it. And everyone who, like, actually got Fruity Loops back in the day, my fault, knows that the demo version, you cannot save it.
Mm.
And you cannot, like, yeah, you can't save the whatever you did.
Damn.
At all. So you have, like, literally, it made me focus because I was like, all right, cool. I literally have to create this track from start to finish and export it and never go back to this record
again.
Oh,
like, it has to be perfect.
Yeah, because you can't. Yeah, the demo version doesn't allow you to save it.
And if that shit crashed, you fucked.
Oh, you totally fucked.
Yeah.
And totally angry.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean?
But it makes you precise,
yeah,
I imagine.
Right. Yeah, and so I dedicated a lot of time just making records and making beats and... from there I was like, oh shit, tight. I got like a good handful of beats, and I knew a lot of people at Lane who were rappers, and I was at the Slam Poetry. Actually, there was, you guys did some stuff at Lane too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you guys coming down too, and like there was the hip hop club that we had. Like, I just started networking with all of them and told them like, yo, I make beats, and gave it to some people, and people started coming to my house and in my bedroom, and I was like, oh shit, I gotta actually try to create like a little setup in my house. I don't want it to just be my bed. And
right, it's
yeah, like, okay, this is kind of weird, bro.
You touching my sheets, yeah. I don't even know you that
I
well.
I sleep on this bed, yeah. Bro.
But that's amazing. That first time somebody writes a verse or a song that you like,
yeah,
to your creation,
oh my God,
what,
yeah,
was that like? Who was it? I mean,
right,
are they
still
some of,
relevant,
yeah,
or current?
Nah.
Or anything?
You still fuck with them?
Yeah.
I don't know. Nah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't even remember the first song I ever made. That actually, like, you know, in high school, it's just like you're just playing around. So
yeah.
But I was more intrigued with recording. So really, like, producing was more so like, hey, come over here.
And let me
slide. And then, like, all right, cool. Now I get to get into my element of, like, oh, now I want to engineer.
But, like, did you think that to do that? You know, I feel like engineering is kind of like, I mean, not now, but back,
yeah,
then was much more like a niche process. Of,
it definitely was.
Yeah.
How did you,
and not
was
the thing that like somebody will gravitate
to. Like,
I want to
be a,
like,
sound engineer.
Be, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like there's flashier, sexier things,
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, it's really,
I guess,
not sexy.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, it's, look, Chris Classic is
no,
a,
you make
a very,
it sexy.
Yeah,
you,
I mean,
make
this
it
is,
sexy.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
time
bring,
out. I'm just saying. Let me say this. It's getting sexier to be an engineer now.
No, you're exactly right.
Not me, but I'm just saying overall, because, you know, you got Mixed by Ali coming out now. People are, engineers are actually getting names now.
And they should,
you know,
yeah, because,
like,
if
they,
you
deserve
can
it.
Yes,
this
absolutely
is what I always say. I always say this: you wouldn't be able to hear Michael Jackson now without Bruce Swatton, I don't know how to say his last name, but without his engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that. Just because without the engineer, you wouldn't hear anything.
Yeah.
Like, overall.
Oh,
yeah.
And that's why artists will also retain an engineer throughout their career once they find someone that they rock with heavy. Yeah.
Yes. If they rock with them heavy, they're going to stick with them because they know their sound.
They get their sound. Yes.
Mm-hmm. They get their sound. Yeah. They get them because overall, it's not even just that, but more so engineers are like literally psychologists in a way because we're the people who sit there and talk to the artist and try to see what they're feeling, and like we have to fully understand them on an emotional side. Mm-hmm. You know, like emotional intelligence is so important to an engineer, but I feel like a lot of engineers don't think that way.
Yeah.
And that's something I try to instill with all my interns at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have to understand vibe. Like that's so big.
Right. Because otherwise you're going to get a performance that is flat
exactly.
or off.
Yeah.
And so you have to be a bit of a rap or song singer, coach, psychologist, as you're saying. Yeah.
And different genres, you know, have different ways of engineering, right? Or things you emphasize or what have you. I don't know.
True.
You know?
No, yeah, definitely.
So you knew early on then that you liked that process.
But how did.
did
you even know? Like,
I didn't know what it was until until it started, you know, you never know until you start doing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like in life, you're just.
You
like,
had no one who was showing you the way. You know, like
I never did. I felt like my whole life I was always just trying to figure things out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I still kind of have that mentality, but now I'm starting to learn to like let go and just be like, oh, hey, you know, like as a manager now, it actually brought in my mind into like, oh, you know what, I should trust this person doing this. I trust that person doing that. And before it was always like I had to be hands-on with everything.
Right.
Because without me touching it, I don't feel like I don't trust no one else doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's fine. That's cool, but now I feel like I put that trust in my team now and I trust everyone at the studio and they're all amazing engineers. Like I love every single person who works out at Class Studios.
Yeah.
Because I've seen them grow from who just started off just cleaning the studio to like now engineering these big records where I'm like, yo, I'm so proud of them. And I'm always going to talk about them. I'm always going to plug them. I'm always going to push them. I'm always, because that was me. And I'm still like that kind of, you know what I mean? But I feel like I'm in a whole different stage of my life right now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how you build that space, because certainly you go from your house.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're in your dad's basement.
In your dad's basement.
Yeah.
To.
Okay. So, all right. This is how it started. I had people come over my house, and we used to work out of my bedroom. And at the time, I was working at Jewel. I was a bagger. And, you know, you had to make
securing
money.
Securing the bag.
Yeah, I was securing the bag, you know, making that money. And all the money that I made through that, plus selling candy at Lane, plus selling CDs, I was hustling, like, seriously. And all the money that I accumulated, I bought a mic, I bought studio gear, I bought
just investing program. In yourself.
I invested in myself. I bought an M-Box. I just had all this gear that I thought I needed. You know what I mean? Because, you know, at the end of the day, when you first start doing something, I always feel like you try to overdo it. Always. Just because you feel like, oh, that's what they have, I got to do it like that.
Right.
But then you realize you don't need all that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you start doing it and you start working and you start, it's crazy. You start mastering something, you realize you need less.
When you also know what tools that you like.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you start realizing like, oh, okay, this makes sense. This makes sense. So I started, I had a little setup in my bedroom, and then, I started having people come over. You know, I had DJ King.
Oh, yeah. Christine. Yeah, she told me.
I had Christine come
word?
Over. Yeah, Christine.
Yeah,
she's a singer.
She's a great singer.
True.
I've known Tin since, I call her Tin. I've known Tin since grade school. Like,
wow.
For real.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends that I'm like around, they're all my grade school friends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, literally all my grade school friends. Or I've known them for like 10 years or more in a way. Yeah.
So you were recording her, other folks, singers, rappers.
Yeah, everyone was coming to my room, and it got to a point where my dad was like, all right, you got too many people coming here. And I'm like, man, Dad, I'm sorry, I just started. And I'm like, yeah,
like with the shits?
My dad was actually very with the shits.
Ah, cool.
My dad, you meet my dad, he's one of those people where if you talk to him for a good hour, you're going to leave and be like, whoa, like, you're gonna be so insightful.
Oh, that's like you. Yeah,
my dad, my dad's like, he's the type of person, like, growing up, I was talking to my friend John earlier today about this, but my dad, when I was a kid, I'm like, yo, 5 or 6, my dad would always be like, why do you think they have that billboard up there? And I'm like, Dad, I'm 5. Why do I have to care about that right now? You know what I mean? Like, my dad always just asked me why.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I never understood that until, like, now where, you know, like, why is the biggest thing? You know, and people are always scared of why, mm-hmm. I feel. Like, why is, like, the, oh, man, no. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to know why. Because you ask someone, like, why are you doing this? Like, oh, man, I like it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's what everyone says. You know what I mean? Like, but seriously, why, though? You know
it's
what
like
I
that
mean?
Ignorance is bliss kind of,
true,
you know?
Yeah. But, yeah, so I was having people come over my house, and 2005, things got a little dark in my life. I was, like, 17. My mom passed away from cancer. And breast cancer. Mm. And, you know, at that point, I didn't know what to do with my life. I was like, and my mom, like, I'm a mama's boy. Like, I was like, yo, like, my mom really took care of me. Like, she was the one who really instilled confidence in me. You know what I mean? She would always be like, yo, you gotta have confidence to do anything you do. You know, anything you want to do in this life, you have to have confidence. I'm like, all right.
Facts, wow.
True. So that happened. And then the year 2006 came around. My dad came up to me. And it got to a point where I was like, yo, you know, I can't just sit here at the crib and not do anything. So I started just doing. And what I knew best at that time was music.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad came up to me and gave me a check for $10,000 for life insurance.
Oh.
And I was like, yo, you know, I'm 18 years old. Like, yo, well, why are you giving me this? This is kind of strange. You know what I mean? And he's like, yo, just save this or do what you want to do with it. And the first thing I thought, I'm like, yo, like, money to me is like, money just being there is nothing. But I wanted to put meaning behind the money. So,
yeah, wow.
So I grabbed that money and I invested in the studio in the basement.
Wow.
And that's when, like, Classic Studios really started.
Was born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real, for real. So really, if you take it back, like, my mom literally
gave life to Classic Studios.
Yeah, she's the one who
crazy.
Invested in my studio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
and if
did.
You go to my studio right now, like, you see her pictures in the front.
Man.
She's the reason.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really dope.
So with that, I just kept pushing, like.
Yeah.
And that's when I started going to Louder Than a Bomb a lot more.
Right.
I met Dave Koresh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's
at Columbia.
Yeah, okay.
And that's when I started getting into the music culture. For real.
Right. And the local scene at that time
exactly.
was starting to bubble.
And
Dave
was
a part of that. Like,
Dave was that man.
That guy, yeah.
Kevin.
No, you already know.
Kevin.
No, I'm still a fan, G.
Bro.
Yeah.
That's my bro, man.
Yeah.
Like, Dave was the person who I actually was like, yo, I looked up to dude.
Yeah.
I didn't know he'd been around for that long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He just put out a project, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave was the beginning in some ways of that era. Well, not the beginning, but one of the key MCs in that era.
Yes.
To let, I think, the city know that actually this is something here.
Yep.
You know?
It's very true. A lot of the new, like, all the artists that are, like, cracking right now, they were literally inspired by Dave.
Oh,
if you were
really?
To ask them. If you go ahead and ask all of them, I want to say that they are going to say, but a majority of them, like Vic Mensa,
yeah.
he's going to say
yeah.
Dave.
That makes sense.
I think Dave let a generation know that it was possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know?
Vic Mensa came
I feel
to
like not
studio.
A lot of people talk about him, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love Dave.
That's why I'm surprised you're saying that.
Well, he left, too.
Where'd he go?
L.A., right?
Yeah,
he moved out to L.A. Because he's acting.
Yeah, he's acting now,
right.
but no, he
and still doing yeah, still yeah, still doing the
he
music,
got bars.
But
yeah,
he's still out there.
Yes. But Dave is kind of ushered in the era that
pre cool kids,
yeah,
right,
pre cool kids,
which is when
like
obviously everything started to pop.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I used to go to your Louder Than a Bomb after because I was working at TCF Bank, and I used to be dressed up in a suit. and I'd pass out my business card.
Yo, I think for real, dead ass, I remember that. Yeah, for real.
I was giving out business cards, and I was like, "Damn, this
come to my through. Basement."
Yeah, I was come like, up, "Come to my yeah. studio."
I'm a banker. I'm a banker.
Imagine me in a suit.
Yeah,
you're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, I'll slide." Hell yeah! Like you're the only one that's dressed up here.
Right,
like.
You look real businesslike.
Yeah.
So
I trust you.
When were you able to make it out the basement?
Oh man, but the basement was so crucial though.
Okay, so what all went down in the basement then?
Man,
and were you calling it Classic Studios?
Yes,
at
I
the
was.
Time?
Okay, when I started the studio in the
where
basement,
where did you get Classic from?
Right.
All right. Again? All right.
It's so, nice as hell. That's a nice ass name.
No. It's cool because, all right, I got to tell this story.
I feel like I've been wanting to ask you these questions for like 4 years. I haven't even known you for that long.
Well, you're about to get all of them answered
yeah.
today.
Great.
I was driving and I'm dead serious. I saw a Coca-Cola ad and I don't know. I might have been tweaking or I might have seen something, but it said, you know, Coca-Cola is classic, right?
Uh-huh.
But I could have sworn it said classic with a K at the end. And I was like, yo, that's kind of sick. I fuck with
classic.
That. Yeah. And sick. I was like, yo, that's kind of dope. But then I didn't really take it on yet until one of my guys who was hearing my beats was like, yo, these beats are sick. And I'm like, he's like, what do you go by? And I'm like, yo, classic. And I wasn't really like.
You're just
like,
not committing. You
I
just
wasn't committed
it.
To it. He was like, yo, that's dope. Yeah, I fuck with that. I'm like, all right. Yeah, all right. You yeah, fuck
I'm
with
that.
You
stick
fuck
with that.
I fuck with
yeah,
it
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
that's
your
what
real
I meant.
Last name is Innumerable, which I was
that
like.
That is my last name.
Yeah.
Which
is also Raw.
Yeah, dope. It's
a
dope ass.
I think I'm going to write a book later. That sounds like a book name.
Christopher Innumerable.
Written by Christopher Innumerable.
Classic.
Christopher Innumerable.
Yeah, I know. That's also a bar, really.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, so it was popping in the basement.
Yeah, the basement was literally how like I had my homies like put graffiti down the walls and
your pops is cool with
my
all
dad
this.
Was super cool.
And shout out.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, Papa yeah. Classic.
Yeah,
he
would come reason. Through. He'd be like, "What y'all doing down here?" Or?
He would. He knew what was going on, but I feel like my dad was just like he was just letting me
do your thing.
Yeah, he was just like letting me grow. You know what I mean? And I feel like. I feel like from learning from my dad how he raised me, I kind of grabbed that mentality to help other artists.
Hmm.
Because at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of artists are always told what to do rather than like, yo, just do your thing and try to, you know, like here's a creative space. I feel like the best thing you could do is for an artist is give them a creative space.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, space.
Just give
exactly.
them space.
Space to
that's
make.
All you have to do.
That's right.
And just guide them when they need it.
That's right.
That's it. And I feel like you're not supposed to be like, oh, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. No, you don't. Like, how am I supposed to know how you're supposed to live your life? At the end of the day, you got to think about that. Like, that's not, I'm not here to tell you.
I'm
that.
Not you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you got to rap like so-and-so. You got to sing like so-and-so. No, I'm here to tell you, like, who are you?
So was Dave the first artist you had that experience with, or who was it where you're like, oh, this is a thing that I really enjoy, the totality, the 360?
Dave was actually the first person that made me feel like you should really understand yourself before you should push out your music.
And what projects did you guys put out together?
Together, yes. We did the first project. He had that one record. I was listening that, not listening, but... I had it in my head. It was the "I Want More" Juicy and Couture. That record,
yeah,
that record
yeah.
was. And Fire was
Yo,
another record
yes,
that I always think about all the time.
We honestly have to have Dave on
is
the
he,
definitely, program.
Is he here now?
No,
yeah,
no,
oh, he's
still in it. But if we either get him back or go out there,
yeah.
but that era, like we need to document that era because not enough folk will
no,
really
I don't
be talking about it. Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people really documented that.
No, but it was before Chicagoans cared.
True,
you know,
very true.
And I just feel like everyone starts it at the Cool Kids, you know.
Yeah,
and then it's like Kanye and the Cool Kids, and there's like this gap maybe or something.
True, and that was that gap.
Yeah, right.
That was literally that gap.
Yeah.
So
all right. So after Dave, who are some of the other artists in the mix at that time for you?
I had Vic Mensa come down.
How old was Vic at that time?
Man, I don't 12, 13 probably.
Wow.
Did he do the his like first EP
first
joint,
EP,
the Black Light or whatever it was called? What was
Straight Up. Yeah, we did a lot of records.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I remember when Vic was like, yo, I'm about to start Kids These Days. And I'm like, oh, that's tight. And like, Nico came down, played some trumpet. I'm like, yo, this is something. Yeah, this is something.
Yeah, follow
and
that.
It's just dope to like see, it's dope to see like these kids who have crazy vision. You know what I mean? Like, it's very inspirational. Like, how are you 12 or 13? Or he wasn't 12. I wouldn't say 12.
Yeah, high school. Was, like, yeah, I think yeah, he was freshman like probably. I mean, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, and for them to just fully understand, like, yo, this is what I want to do with my life, and that's raw. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we could learn a lot from these kids. Like, I was always just around the youth. That energy was just so prominent back in the day at the studio.
So at that point, I mean, you're making money because you're charging people to record. How are some of the? I mean, because you're also operating a business, mm-hmm. right? It's Classic Studios. Mm-hmm. You're. I don't know that you're paying rent per se, but yeah. you know,
charging
like,
an hourly rate.
Yeah. I was charging like $25 an hour.
Okay.
Right.
And I was working at TCF Bank, and I told myself that I was going to quit my job if I made more in a day at the studio than I made in a week at TCF Bank. And at TCF Bank, I'm going to say it, I was making like $250 a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think at, 2007 or 2008, that was when I made like $300 in a day.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself like, yo, fuck TCF.
I'm out.
At that point, how long had you been in the basement? Like a year?
Yeah, it was like 2 years.
Mm.
Yeah, it's 2006, like 2008, yeah.
Okay.
Like 2 years when things started really like picking up. And,
yeah.
You know, I had a good clientele base coming down to my basement. And you could ask all of my clients too, or people who came to my studio, like my studio wasn't easy to go to. Like you literally had to take a bus or a train to you know, and then walk like
they
a couple blocks
happen.
And they made, and that's what made me feel like I was like, all right, well, I'm up to something now because these people literally
going out of their way.
And the first person that actually interned at my studio, Jeff Jackson, who, you know, I still talk to, like I actually manage him now. I manage a lot of my friends and like all the people that I've like worked with at the studio.
Oh wow, okay.
And Jeff Jackson was like my first intern, and he lived in Dalton. And he drove almost every day to my house.
That's
and
crazy.
I remember the first time he came down to do an interview, I was playing 2K with him and I'm like, why you want to intern with me, bro? And he was just like, man, I just like how you mix. And I'm like, yo, all right, cool. You can work here, bro. So he came down and
but you weren't in school or anything?
No, I wasn't.
Didn't go to college.
So yeah. I went to college.
Okay.
I went to college. I was going to college for business. But in the meantime, I was going to this like audio school called MIW. I know there's a couple people who know about that. It's called Midwest Industry Workshops or whatever. And they did that at Studio Chicago. And yeah, that place didn't really teach me a lot, so mm-hmm. I kind of left.
Mm-hmm.
And then, to add to my story, I was at DePaul. I was in my accounting class. And in the middle of my class, I was like, yo, this doesn't feel right. And I literally left my class. And my teacher was like, Chris, where are you going? I'm like, I got to use the bathroom real quick. And he's like, with your bag? I'm like, yeah, I'll be back. Never came back. And I went across the street. I went to Columbia. And I asked them, like, yo, how can I register here? Because they didn't have no recording classes in DePaul. Uh-huh. Like, for you to take classes in engineering, you had to know, like, you have to know how to play piano. You have to know how to, like, play an instrument. And I'm like, I don't know how to classically play Beethoven and shit. Like,
right.
What you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just want to learn how to engineer.
Yeah.
And so I went to Columbia.
Yeah.
Across the street, and my dad was mad, but for a second, and I just told him, like, DePaul wasn't it for me, like, for real.
Did you graduate from Columbia?
Yes, I did.
Hey, wow. Our second graduate.
Second one,
yeah.
Who's our first?
Ambi.
Yeah.
Oh, Ambi.
Yeah. Literally everyone else has dropped out
mm-hmm.
from Columbia, which is...
I mean...
Right. It makes sense. It's just funny.
Honestly, running theme. I literally got my diploma for the sake of my mom and my dad.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're immigrants, and right, you know how immigrants are. You know, like they're like, oh,
there's no way I couldn't not go to school.
Exactly.
Even if I did nothing.
Yeah, and I literally did it for them. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, not to knock it, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. And so you left. You graduated from college. You left the bank.
Mm-hmm.
At that point you started, because you moved. From the basement.
My dad was getting mad, and all the people, like everything,
getting
all
mad.
All my neighbors thought we were drug dealers at my house. It got to a point where I had cops like literally knocking on my door, going like, "Hey, you need to lower the music down." I'm like, "All right," and they were really trying to come inside just because they thought I was selling drugs.
Were you even smoking weed or anything?
No, I was not. Nah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I mean, this is dad's crib, you know.
Yeah, So, at what point did you move, and where did you move to initially?
So, one of my good friends, Danny Torres, I was driving around, and I found a place literally like 5 blocks away from my house.
You're like, I don't want to go far to work.
I mean,
yeah,
I found a house, like a whole house.
Wow.
For $1,700 a month.
And you were good on that rent pay?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I was good.
Yeah. What year was this?
That was 2009. I want to say 2009 when I was like, I don't know the exact.
That's fine.
Sure.
Approximate.
Yeah, 2009-ish. And I walked into the house, and I just remember seeing the guy was there already, like, who owns the place. And I was like, yo, how can I rent this whole house, like this whole home? And they were like, oh, it's $1,700. I need I just need your pay stubs, and I need to see all that and whatever, and you could have the place. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I told him, like, yeah, I'll send you that proof. And I didn't have proof.
Right. Yeah.
So I had to show him my bank statements, and I told my dad was literally the person who was the
co-signer.
Yeah, the co-signer.
Yeah.
And yeah, and we found a new place, and I moved in there with my homie Roger. You guys know Roger?
Roger.
Of course, my homie.
So you lived there and had the studio there?
No. We lived there. We all moved into that house.
Okay.
The Bernice crib was... So think of the Social Network house where everyone was like coding. Like, this was all music.
Nice. Wow.
Crib.
So you and Roger and who?
Me, Roger... One of my good friends, Brett Stone, from grade school. Like, I knew him since kindergarten. He was like my best man at my wedding. And
also making music?
He was making, like, he went to school for music, but I think he did other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had my guy Tapes, who was a producer. He was with like Good Music, and he produced that new Guy Flow joint. Who else was there? Chuck L.I. Smino and Bari used to stay there a lot, and everybody stayed at this crib.
That must have been a very exciting time,
because
you're all a bunch of young dudes, giving it a go.
Yeah, it was that the Bernice crib literally jump started all of our careers, really.
So how did Smino?
Elman started there too.
Oh wow,
and you knew Smino because of Drea, right?
I knew Smino because of Drea.
Right? I guess how did he come into the mix?
Going back now.
Yep.
I had Drea, who I saw Drea at a party.
Shout out Drea.
Shout out Drea.
Yes.
Crazy,
amazing,
wild, talented. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Great energy.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Person,
yeah.
Peaceful.
Absolutely. That vibe dealer.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So she came up to me and she was like, yo, I got my cousin coming down, going to Columbia. And he wants to work at a studio. And I'm like, cool. Tell him to come down. And I was at my dad's house on Kilpatrick. And I forgot that he was going to come down. I was hooping across the street at Kilbourne Park. So he calls me, and I'm like, he's like, yo, I'm in the back of your crib right now. I'm like, hey, bro, go to Kilbourne Park, which is like, if you go down the block, turn right, and then turn left on Kilbourne, you're going to see a park, and I'm going to be right there.
And he's not from here.
He's not from here. Right. Yeah. So I'm like, bro, my fault, man. So he pulls up, and I see a guy with a backpack, and he's like, yo, what's up? And I'm like, oh, what's up, bro? Let me play this game real quick, and then we can go back to my crib. And I play a game, go back home, and he plays me some records, and I'm like, he plays me his beats, and I'm like, yo, this guy is nice. Like, production game is crazy.
Right, he started as a producer.
Oh, yes. Damn, okay.
Yeah, he was all a producer at the studio. So.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah.
Guess you didn't read my articles, huh?
I mean, I did, but I just glossed over those parts because they were so well written. I got lost in the beauty of the language.
All right. That's literally the biggest bullshit I've ever
poetry,
heard.
Yo, it's all the poetry, you know
what
I'm saying?
The most poetic bullshit.
I was poetic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he came down, played some tracks, and what really got me, though, was, you know, Stefan Ponce, one of my good friends, who he had a beat. And Stefan asked Smino, like, yo, can you put a hook on this? Because we knew that he could write hooks or write music. And we're like, all right, cool, let's check it out. And he wrote a hook in like 15 minutes.
Damn.
Recorded it with harmonies, everything. I still got that record.
It never came out, I guess.
Never came out. But the hook's fire as hell.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I looked to my, like, at the time, I was like, yo, after that experience with him, I was like, yo, you could come here anytime you want. You could use my studio. I don't care if you sleep here. Just do your thing. You know what I mean? Just because I just knew that he was just a talented kid, and, like, he had great energy. Great dude. You know
and
what
he
mean?
Took you up on that offer, isn't
yes.
that?
Yeah.
Was this when you were at your dad's house? Or
my dad's house. My dad's house.
Yeah. So you've Kilpatrick. Known him for, like, at least 10 years.
I want to say,
if not more.
Yeah, 9 years-ish. Yeah.
It's crazy.
But that's the real, right? Like, that's the lore, but that's also the real. He actually slept in the studio?
So, no, he slept at another studio, but he would sleep at my crib, too, at my studio. He slept at this other studio, which was... No, he did sleep at my studio. Yes, the current one.
Right, the current one.
We're gonna, it's a lot of jumping.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah.
Getting ahead of yourself, Kevin.
Yeah.
Messing up the chronology.
No, because it's a lot going on.
I don't believe in linearity. You know what I'm saying? Not in the new millennium.
Honestly, bro, like, the best stories are nonlinear.
Yeah, that's right. So, okay. So, because he's someone who you and him and Monty, I mean, to bring it even to the tour, I mean, you know, these are artists who have helped to propel you and your business and the studio and the notoriety of what you guys are doing into a different atmosphere, it seems.
Yeah, and honestly, that wasn't my intention at all. Like, my intention since the beginning, since I started, since I've done, you know, classic since inception, was like, I just wanted to help the artists. I wanted to help talented people, because I feel like a lot of people are talented, but they don't have the vision to get to where they need to be.
And sometimes, or the direction,
yeah. And just the guidance, you know what I mean? And sometimes you just need that fact, like that person in your corner to tell you, like, no, you're tripping.
Right.
Or, oh, that's tight, keep going with that idea. You know
Some
what
people
mean?
Just need an ear, you know?
Exactly.
Like
And I was just, you know, they just put a lot of trust in me, and I just was like, oh, all right, cool. Like I said, like, everything was never just, honestly, like, a lot of my life wasn't more like, oh, I'm going to do this because I want to get further in my career, or I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to travel the world. I never thought about this, like, at all. I never thought about, like, yo, I'm going to, like, if I do this, I'm going to do this with them. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm always like, I'm going to do this because I want to help them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people in this industry are keen to be like, I want to do this because I'm going to get that.
Right.
Right.
You know what
but
I mean?
I think that, like, when you like, you know, nobody was leading you, you know, you're just kind of figuring shit out. When you're figuring shit out, like, you're not following an example, you know, you're kind of like forging your own path, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people are like, I want that. I want to be on. See all these other people who are on, I just want that, you know, but don't realize the hard work that goes into, like, you know, doing shit.
I love the hard work.
Yeah, right. That's what makes it so gratifying.
Yeah.
We didn't do shit the easy way.
Yeah, it's the journey.
You know?
Like, it's not,
and that's so corny, but it's true.
Well, and the work itself,
right?
The actual
journey. It's like, a lot of people ask me, like, "Yo,
it's the failures, you know?
It's
like fucking up."
Yeah, and I was reading Phil Jackson's book, and one thing that really, really stuck to me was, as a coach, because, you know, I'm starting to see myself more as a coach for people.
Yes, life coach, baby. What did I say?
Starting to see that
a little
bit more. So I'm reading, you know, Phil Jackson's
life. J-Mo got me a little tea. It's in my tea. It got me. Okay.
But what he said was that one of the one of the coaches that taught him was that what they said was all the W's are for you, all the L's are for me.
Wow.
And damn, I'm like, that's real.
And I was like, damn, that's true.
But do you not want any W's?
Oh, I feel the W's no matter what. You know, like when we even when we get a new fan, that's a W for me. You know, but the L's though, like I have to figure out how to
navigate those.
What, at this point, what are some of the things that you are continuing to learn in the day to day? What are some of the L's that you're taking that you feel like is an opportunity to
learn from,
continue to grow and learn?
I'm learning constantly just because I've never managed in my life in terms of like an artist, like the music business. Like I'm starting to actually understand the concept of like, all right, well, you have to do this to achieve this. You have to do this to achieve that. And like a lot of it is planning. I'm such a overdoer than an overthinker. And it's good that we have Henny, who's actually the co-manager for Smino and Monty as well. And he's the person who actually like plans things. He's the, you know, and I'm more of the, all right, cool, you got the plan, all right, I'm gonna execute this shit. So that's why a lot of things have been moving so swiftly with Smino and Monty, because I think we have a really solid team behind these two talented artists and producers.
So right now in this moment, what is your, you know, now that you're back, what is your day-to-day like, and what is it looking like kind of moving ahead?
Random as hell.
Yeah.
Like, I'll wake up and I'm like, all right, if I don't have things to do, I figure out what I have to do. There's never a point in my, like, schedule to be like, not
sitting around.
Yeah, I can't sit around. If I'm sitting around, then I'm just like, oh, I'm not doing shit. And I literally get anxiety when I don't have nothing to do. It's kind of weird.
That's like the downside to, I guess, working for yourself. And
true, yes.
Like it putting everything on yourself, I guess.
Yeah, but you want to stay active.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. Always.
So you guys are off this tour, and then are you back in the studio? Are you planning a longer...
Are you working on the album?
I mean, all the above.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Any...
You know, we got to put some mystery to it.
Of course.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
A lot of things are moving. There's a lot of things on the way.
And are you working with other artists actively at this point? I mean, I know you have a lot of people in the studio, and also people can holler at you about the studio.
Of course. Recently, right now, I was working with Kemba from New York.
I love him.
Yeah,
he used
great.
To go by YC. Yeah, YC the Cynic.
Great dude.
Yeah, he's great.
I knew him from back in the day.
Yeah.
Working with him, actually gonna do the project with, it's gonna be with me and with Brian Schwaller, one of the engineers at the studio, just because like my schedule is kinda...
Oh yeah, are you engineering still?
I'm still engineering a little bit, but only like I'm very selective with who I work with, because it's getting to a point where my schedule is getting very, there's a lot going on.
I'm sure, right.
Yeah. So I have to be selective with my time.
Of course. Yeah, that makes sense. Especially because your time is literally your job.
Yes.
And
it
so.
It literally is my job.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting, man.
Yeah.
And congrats on all these. I mean, I know that the W's are everybody's, but it does seem like, you know, you too, because of all of that effort, all of that labor, all of the dedication, you also take, you know, you're also receiving some of the W's now too.
I mean, obviously, Smino, St. Louis, me, St. Louis. But I think, like, y'all been, like, my favorite people to watch grow, because...
No,
I
appreciate that.
Even when, I mean, like, you know, I met y'all, like, whatever, 3 years ago, and...
I remember that. At South By?
Yeah, right. So funny. But I met him like randomly. I met Appleby that night. And then
that was the first time we ever went to South By. Like, that was the first time I ever went to South By.
Where were we at? We were at Ilmore.
At the Ilmore.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I need to talk about this story real quick.
Yeah. All right.
This is actually, so Smee's never been on a flight ever in his life. Like, for real.
Right.
And he comes up to me. He goes, and this was a week before that South By that we met. And he goes, yo, I have to go to South By. Somebody wants me to do a show out there and said that he needs to go out there and meet somebody. And I'm like, cool. If it's that important, let's go. So I bought a flight for me and him.
At this point, you had been managing him?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't managing him at all.
You weren't?
And I never went to South By, so I was like, oh, here's my reason to go. So I'll go to South By this year. This was like, what, 3 years?
2015.
And I bought a flight for us, and I got a hotel room, and Applebee was staying with us too. And we had Epidemic and Eliana with us too as well.
Wow.
And we all, you know, stayed in this hotel room. And during that week, like, not a lot. Because, you know, like, again, like, you have to have know somebody to get the bands to go into, like, these shows. And I'm like, man, whatever, man. I'm just here to get drunk and chill and hang with my homie. You know, I'm just chilling with Smee. And out of nowhere, Smee comes up to me. He's like, yo, we got to go to the Illmore. We got to go meet Henny. And we go to the Illmore, and we're waiting there. And I'm just like, yo, where's dude at? He's literally, like, not popping up yet. And, like, I'm, like, getting impatient. I'm like, I don't care, bro. I don't want to go to this party anyways. It don't matter. And because, like, we could go somewhere else. Dude pops up, and it's Henny's birthday. And he's like, yo.
Oh, it was his birthday?
It was his birthday, yeah. And he pulls up, yeah, what up, y'all? Here's some bands, and y'all could chill, and here's some drink. And, like, Henny got me drunk, and I was like, oh, this shit's tight. All right, cool.
I fuck with him now.
I'm like, yo, I fuck with you, bro.
I'm cool now.
And we meet Henny. That was the first time we ever met Henny. And I think later on that week, I didn't know what was going to happen after that.
Yeah.
But Smee later on, like, was just like, yo, you might as well just be my manager. And I'm like, true, bet. Cool.
You're like, I don't know what that means, but let's go.
But yeah, like, you my homie, I'll rock with you. Let's go. You know what I mean? And I'll do whatever it takes. Like, I don't know what that entails, but let's do it. And that's when it really started, for real, for real. Like,
yeah.
That's when I became Classic the engineer to owner to actually being a manager. And it was because it's me.
Yeah. Man, that year, like, that summer, in terms of just, like, music and, like, the people who are on now who are, like, starting to pop that summer.
Oh, they were there.
Yes.
Everybody was
there. That was, like, the best year for everything. Like, everybody who's on now, that was the year.
And it also lets you know how long it takes.
Yes.
Right? Because that's a lot of sizzle.
I mean, it's, like, 3 years, and it doesn't feel like a lot of time, but so much transpired in those 3 years.
Definitely did, yeah. A lot happened. That was when I seen Goldlink perform at every single show.
No, I shadowed him. That's why I was with Henny.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In the first place, I think. And then we were in the car together.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. I was like, I met you, and I was in the car, and I was like, I was supposed to meet this guy, Henny. And then he was in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was so weird. And then I was living in New York, and I went to a rooftop party, and you and Smino were there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that was when I was DJing for my homies.
Oh, was it like the yellow?
DBI.
Oh, okay. Oh.
My homies, DBI.
They were there?
Yeah, they were there.
That's so weird. Like, Vic and...
Vic Nant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, Victor is... backstory on Victor. Victor is one of my grade school friends again.
Nice.
And
he's Vic, cold, yeah, man.
And Vic was in this group called DBI, and now he is the creative director / like graphic designer for Zero Fatigue.
Yeah, oh. He's cold.
Dope.
He does all the artwork that you see, the couple drills, artwork, everything, that's all Victor.
Oh, I mean, he did the flyer for our Christine and my show at YCA.
Oh, he's done.
He's sick.
Very talented.
You've definitely seen Victor's work in Chicago.
That's what's up.
But then Smino sat in my crib in East Harlem and showed me Ruby. What's the song?
Was it Ruby Red?
Yes. That's crazy. I was like, fucking crazy. And then I pitched it to Noisy, and he was like, I don't know about this, but I'll let you write it. And I'm like, fuck you.
I do know about it.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Hi. Yeah. Welcome to 2018.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So now, man, so now I guess, obviously, you know, you rock with the people you are making music with. What are some of the other things that are motivating you and inspiring you right now that you're checking for? Could be music, could be, you
TV,
know, art, TV, books, whatever, movies.
Yeah,
you know, anything that you...
Man, honestly, it's anything. Like, I get inspired by a lot of things. Like, just being out of town to hearing, even if I'm just like at Jewel and I'm shopping and I hear a song and I'm like, yo, this shit's fire. Like, I feel like inspiration is everywhere, but people don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just very observant about like what's going on around me all the time, that no matter what, I'm always going to stay inspired. I think that's the biggest thing that a lot of people need to like strive for, is just to pay attention around them. Like, yo, there might be something in front of you that's inspiring the fuck out of you, but you're not paying attention because you're on your phone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's just how I feel sometimes.
To be aware.
Yeah. But overall, like anything, I could find inspiration by watching this game right now.
Yeah.
For real.
Pick it out and let me know, though. I just curious.
Yeah. Are there artists specifically that you're excited about that maybe aren't on, you know, the radar yet, but folks, you know, we'll hear of soon?
Oh, man, it's very random. I get, like, from the friends that I've accumulated in this music industry, like, I have a lot of people just sending me music, or they'll tell me, like, yo, you got to check this person out. I'm like, all right, cool. There's this girl named Olivia Nelson from, I think her name's Nelson, at last name, but she's from London. She's really, really dope. Of course, Saba. I'm excited for Saba's career.
Yeah, it's unreal right now.
Yeah, and like, it's finally getting to that point in his like life where I'm like, yo, all the stuff that I wish that happened for Saba is finally happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, I'm forever grateful for to see that. And especially to talk to Rory, like, that's one of my good friends. And like, I work with him. He's like, Hisamino's PR. And like, just to hear him talk about like what's going on, I'm like, yo, that's tight, bro.
Are there going to be more Saba Hisamino records?
We're going to see, bro.
Okay. All right. Listen. Well, yo, man,
I feel like I could talk to you forever.
I know. It's so instructive because it's really about.
I just
about,
feel like we missed a lot, but like we had
of course.
To,
yeah. You know? Yeah. But, you know.
Let me think if we missed anything.
Oh, I know we missed giant swaths of time.
Swaths. Yes.
If you will.
I like that word. Yeah.
But it's, you know, we are obviously giant fans and always want to be able to support.
And so,
you know, anytime you have an artist or anything you want to talk about, you're always obviously welcome back. And we'd love to have you. And so grateful you came and joined us this evening, man, especially right off tour. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, definitely.
Man. Yeah, appreciate you.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Nelson for the logo and art.
Big up, WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.